Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church, a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, located in Green, Iowa. Good to be with you today. Today is Sunday, September 5th, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, and thank you for joining me for a scripture reading and a sermon on this Labor Day weekend. Good to be with you. Today's reading is from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. James writes, "My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, 'Have a seat here, please,' while to the one who is poor you say, 'Stand there,' or 'Sit at my feet,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' also said, 'You shall not murder.' Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Here ends the reading. I often begin sermons with the words that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." I don't think I can start with that line today, because I don't think these readings are meant to make us feel peaceful. I know it's a holiday weekend, and I appreciate you watching today, but if you're watching looking for something to make you feel comfortable, you picked the wrong week. Go watch a different, maybe not last week, but go watch a different week's video. This is a challenging lesson. It's a continuation of last week's portion of James. And James has this radical idea that as Christians, we should do more than just say we believe in Jesus. We should do more than just put on a video or show up at church on a Sunday morning or show up at Sunday school, or more than just sing a few songs, listen to Christian radio, maybe listen to some prayers and a lecture about Jesus every so often. James dares to say that being a Christian means we have to change the way we live. Your faith should have an effect on your life. Now, after a half decade, and it's been half a decade, of preaching sermons here, I've realized I really like that phrase, that line about your faith should change the way you live. I said it last week, I'll say it again. The problem, though, with that phrase, with just saying your faith should change the way you live, is that that line is too vague. James is not vague. James is very specific. And that is where we get uncomfortable. James says that we need more than just a nice Christian attitude where we say, "Go in peace, feel better, eat your fill, stay warm." Telling someone who's hungry to go eat doesn't do any good. Instead, James tells us, we need to give the hungry people some food. When someone needs clothes, we need to give them some. We are supposed to do something about the needs of our neighbors. Imagine that, putting faith into action. The challenge comes, of course, when we try to figure out the best way to act. How to most effectively feed the hungry, how to respond to refugees, how to fight child poverty. That's where we get into political debates. Liberals want the government to take care of everybody and not leave anyone out. Conservatives want the government to get out of the way so that people can take care of themselves. And that's an overgeneralization, obviously, but I think it explains a lot of the current political debates. Everyone wants children to have food, at least I trust they do, but there's vehement disagreement about the best way to feed them. Everybody wants people in the pandemic to do better, but there's disagreement about how to make that happen. In our world today, we spend so much time and energy arguing about the problems around us. And debate can be good, but so often what gets eyeballs in advertising is focusing on making the other side lose, trying to stir up that outrage, rather than focusing on solving problems. Watch out for that trap. James, for his part, doesn't really care if you are liberal or conservative. James wants you to feed your neighbor. James wants you to not just talk about how much faith you have and how much you care, but to actually do something about it, do something with that faith. James wants us to love our neighbors. That's what Jesus calls us to do. If you hear that your neighbor's basement is flooded and you go over to help them because you think, well, maybe someday it might happen to me and they'll be able to help me in the future, that's an investment strategy. That is not the kind of love James is talking about. That's still selfish. This is a call to love the way Jesus loves, unselfishly. Knowing that sometimes people don't respond well to being loved. Loving means risking getting burned, risking someone misusing your gifts, not making the choices you'd like them to make. So what? James wants the church, and by church he means you and me, the body of Christ. James wants the church to live up to its calling. The church is supposed to be something unique in the world. We are supposed to be God's embassy, God's outpost in a sinful world, the one place where everyone is welcomed and valued and seen as made in the image of God. We are supposed to be the ones seeing everyone as beloved children of God, both sinner and saint. Through the church, God calls every person to repent, to reorient their lives toward God, to follow in Jesus' footsteps. In the church, the human ways we divide and judge and fight and separate each other don't apply. This is an oasis for people in need to come and receive both hope and help. The church is a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. At least, that's the idea, right? That's what the church ought to be. But that's not quite the reality of our lived experience, is it? Because the church is made up of sinners. Sinful people like you and me, and thanks to all the people, the church never seems to quite live up to its potential, at least not in this world. The divisions and the fighting in the world affect us too. We bring our judgments with us. We bring our selfishness and our greed and our desire to have it our own way and our unwillingness to put others first and our suspicion of those people who might come into the building looking poor, looking different. We wonder what they might need. James cautions his community about how when someone who's dressed well comes into their church, someone who looks wealthy, someone with power, well then, they bend over backwards to welcome them, make them feel at home, get them to join something. And yet, when someone poor, someone without status or influence comes in, they get told to sit over there. Maybe an usher will stay in back and watch them, make sure they don't bother anybody. Focusing on the rich and the well-off and the people who seem to have it all put together, that's not a bad country club recruitment strategy. But James says that is not how the church ought to be. That is not God's kingdom. That's just a reflection of the world with all of its judgments and temptations. That's not living faith. And yet it's so tempting to do, isn't it? It's not just a problem in the early church. Lots of older American churches used to have members pay to rent pews so they'd have the right to sit in the most prominent places. Even today, it's incredibly easy for churches like ours even to make decisions based on not offending the people who give the most offering. It's so easy for us to put ourselves first instead of doing our job as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. James is not an easy book to read because James doesn't let us off the hook. Maybe the most offensive part of James is verse 17 of this chapter. That's the money line. That's the line most people think of in James. It's the last few words from today's reading. Verse 17, "So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." We in the Lutheran tradition have been uncomfortable with James for a long time, thanks to this verse. Martin Luther certainly was uncomfortable with this. We are pretty attached to the principle that we are saved by grace alone through faith alone, not by anything we do. And that's true. Don't lose sight of that. God's love always comes first. We love because God first loved us. God does not love you more if you do more. James challenges us, though, by calling us to have a living faith, an active faith. We are saved by God's grace alone through Jesus Christ. But that grace given to us, revealed to us, shown to us, forces us to do good works in response. Because God first loved us, we love. We love God in return, and we love our neighbors. You can't love God without loving your neighbors, period. And it's not just James who says that. 1 John chapter 4 says, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their neighbors, hate their brothers or sisters, are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." If you don't care about loving your neighbor, if you don't care about your starving neighbor, then you don't understand God's love for you. If you don't care that there are people in this world right now who are being unjustly discriminated against, being trafficked into sex slavery, languishing in prison unjustly, if you don't care that there are people who are being discriminated against because of their ethnic heritage, children forced into child labor, if you don't care that the poorest in the world are the ones most harmed by climate change, if you don't care that there are some 97 more people forced into extreme poverty due to the pandemic, well then James will question whether your faith is living or dead. Now there are lots of ways faithful Christians can disagree about what to do about these problems. All those problems I just mentioned are complex issues. Again, that's why we have different political parties and, to an extent, church denominations. Each of you watching have different gifts and callings, so how you respond to those needs will look different. You can't fix everything. God calls us to particular vocations, but we are all called to care and to act, to get involved. You can look at a situation like Afghanistan these last few weeks, and you can debate whether it was the right decision for the U.S. to pull out. You can debate whether the evacuation should have been handled better. But when refugees show up in our country without clothes, food, or money, we are called to help them. And the church is helping. We are helping. The body of Christ is at work. The Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service is one of the organizations, one of the leading groups providing support for Afghan refugees when they land in the U.S. and walk off the plane. We're going to have a special offering next week in church to support their work. If you want to support that, send something to church. You can be a politically liberal Christian or a politically conservative Christian or a libertarian Christian or a socialist Christian. But if you are a follower of Jesus, James says, you have to care. Loving God involves showing love to your neighbor. And not just the neighbors you like or agree with either. Not just the ones who are making the effort themselves or whose lifestyle you agree with. Neighbors around the world and neighbors just down the road from you who need help. In the middle of that reading, James says, if you understand what God has done for you, if you grasp the mercy God has shown to you, then you owe it to others to show mercy to them. If we want to be forgiven for the sins we've committed, whether it's something like murder or adultery, or just not noticing the needs around us, if we desire God's mercy, and we do, then we ought to share that mercy with the people around us. Maybe we ought to have a warning label on this video, on our church Facebook page or YouTube channel. Maybe we ought to have a warning label slapped on the bulletin, because the kind of living faith James calls us to is dangerous. When you pay attention to God's word, it does something to you. The Bible teaches you about Jesus, and when you learn about Jesus, when you put your faith in Jesus, he changes your heart. He makes you care about the world around you. When you pray for others, sometimes God calls you to be an answer to prayer. The Holy Spirit gives you a living faith, and when you have a living faith, you can't help serving your neighbors. Thanks be to God. Amen. Before you go, I want to invite you to join me and about a dozen other people signed up already for a 7-week look at the book Making Sense of Scripture. It's about topics like, where did the Bible come from? What kinds of literature are in the Bible? How do we apply this authority for us today? So we'll be meeting on Thursday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. for 7 weeks, beginning at the end of September. If you're interested, I need to know right away. Comment on this video, send me an email, call church, so that I can order books this week. So if you're interested or you have questions, let me know. Now, receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.